This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Oakland Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Raiders get set to take on the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday at O.co Coliseum, and the Silver and Black are still looking for their first win of the season as they lost last Sunday to the San Diego Chargers in one of the more entertaining games around the NFL. The final score was 31-28. The Raiders had a 28-24 lead late in the game, but Phillip Rivers found a way to orchestrate the game-winning drive, and San Diego pulled away and won that game. Some of the encouraging signs from that game for the Silver and Black: Derek Carr at quarterback, 18 of 34. He threw for 282 yards, four touchdowns, but one critical interception on the last play of the game. Derek's quarterback rating was 107.7, and now no rookie quarterback to ever play this game has thrown more touchdowns quicker than Carr in his first five games with the Silver and Black. So the Raiders got something to build on and clearly feel like they have their franchise quarterback of the future. In that game, Oakland also ran for 114 yards. Darren McFadden, 14 carries for 80 yards. Maurice Jones-Drew got going, four carries for 30 yards, 7.5 yards a carry. And the receiving core of Holmes, Butler, and Jones played well. Carr's got some weapons. He threw the ball downfield. It was just a matter of stopping Phillip Rivers late. Rivers threw for 313 yards, had a quarterback rating again of over 120, 123.8, and San Diego went on to win that game. So the Raiders get set for another home opportunity to take on the Arizona Cardinals, and Arizona is on top of the NFC West. That's right, on top of that division, a division that includes Seattle and San Francisco, and they came from behind to beat the Washington Redskins at home last Sunday by a score of 30-20. In that game, Carson Palmer wasn't sure if he was going to play. He ended up playing in that game, and Carson Palmer got in a rhythm late in that game and led him to a victory. He threw 44 passes, 28 of 44, for 250 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. Carson Palmer spoke to the media earlier this week about his return back to Oakland.
It's a completely rebuilt defense, you know, a very, very talented, very mature, experienced group that's won big games and won Super Bowls and played in a lot of football. And it shows up on tape. They're very heady. They do a lot of different things, and they do a great job rushing the passer. So it's a big battle for us this week.
So in this game, the Raiders are going to have to make sure they slow down Carson Palmer. And you look at the stats of this Arizona team, you wonder how they do it. They're 31st in the NFL when it comes to total yards at 1,539. 85.6 rushing yards per game. That ranks 30th in the NFL. And when it comes to passing yards, they're right there with the Raiders. They throw for 222 yards a game. Oakland throws for 223. So they haven't been that explosive, but as you know, they have explosive receivers led by Larry Fitzgerald, who had six receptions for 98 yards last Sunday. And I'll tell you, they got other wide receivers who get open downfield, especially Michael Floyd, who's having a big year there. For the Raiders, they got to get going again with this pass rush. It was good to see Justin Tuck wake up and play better in this game. Even though he was banged up, he went into the locker room, he came out, and he gave everything in that game. And the Raiders have been decimated with injuries at the linebacker position. Hopefully they can get going in the game and put pressure on Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer is fourth in the NFL with quarterback rating at 100.5. I think the key to this game is Bruce Arians, the head coach of that team, is unbelievable from game to game. He's an offensive mind. He puts different game plans together for every opponent. He is not looking past the Raiders. He's lost as a coach and a coordinator in the past in Oakland, and he's not going to let his team get too high coming into this game. Several good guests will join us on this podcast coming up later on. Gerard Powers, who leads the NFL with three interceptions, the cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals. But we kick it off with Mike Jarecki, one of the premier NFL insiders out of Arizona. He works for Fox Sports Radio 910. He's an Arizona Cardinal insider, and he joins us on the official Raider podcast. And Mike, let's get right into it here. I want to start off, when did this franchise turn in a positive direction? Because the Bidwell family was often mocked about not being great owners. Was it bringing in Kurt Warner in that Super Bowl run? Because now they're legit, and people think they're one of the better run football teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I think when they brought in Warner, that they were at the tip of the iceberg there, at the top of the mountain. I mean, being able to make a run, and then, you know, as Chris Collinsworth pointed out that year, they were one of the worst teams to qualify for the postseason. And the next thing you know, they're 2 minutes away from beating the Pittsburgh Steelers in Tampa. I actually would say, going back to when in 2000 they had a vote on a stadium, and, you know, getting out of Sun Devil Stadium. You know, usually you go to those games and the opposing, you know, team had more fans there, whether it was the Raiders or the Cowboys or playing in the NFC East. And so once they got the revenue streams to kick in with the new stadium in Glendale, everything changed. And obviously they had more money to spend. They were able to go out and acquire more players, you know, draft better and re-sign their core players. And obviously bringing in a guy like Ken Whisenant brought a lot of credibility to the franchise. So I would say when they passed the stadium vote back in 2000, and then it was just a spiral downward effect where you started to see the production on the field and the money they were spending. And, you know, ever since they moved into the new stadium in 2006, they have sold out 88 consecutive games. Now, that includes playoffs, preseason, and regular season games. So they actually have a home field advantage. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but since 2006, I know Seattle's had the moniker of being the team with the opposing teams getting the most false starts, but the Cardinals actually have the number one right now in the NFL when it comes to opposing teams coming there. So I would say just getting new revenue streams and making better decisions, and also Michael Bidwell kind of taking over for Mr. B. I think all that changed over a period of time.
Mike, this is really important. I wanted to get to this later on, but I'm going to jump in here. You know, with the Raider game coming up with the Cardinals, the situation that Oakland's in at home and what Mark Davis is trying to do with the city of Oakland, trying to keep the Raiders in Oakland and getting a stadium. From what you just said, that was really the difference for this Cardinals organization. I used to travel and watch games at Sun Devil Stadium, and it was exactly what you said. The road fans would treat that as a vacation destination. Let's go to a game. Let's go have a great time on campus at ASU, go to a restaurant, and have fun. Now Mark Davis is trying to secure the Raiders in Oakland. They're a proud franchise. Possibly if the Raiders got that revenue with the new stadium, maybe that would help them have more freedom with their revenue stream to go out and put more money into players.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, if the Cardinals didn't pass that vote, in JT, the vote was to the public, and what they did is they were able to use, you know, our number one industry here in Arizona is travel and tourism, and they were able to use a rental car tax, a hotel tax, where, you know, if you were a resident of Arizona and you showed your license, you didn't have to pay that $2.50 surcharge. Obviously, they were able to tack it on the hotel tax. And again, that's our number one industry. If the Cardinals didn't, and they weren't able to pass that vote back in 2000, Proposition 302, I got to be honest, they wouldn't be here right now. Now, by the Cardinals getting the new revenue streams and getting a new stadium, it's allowed them to obviously spend money, but you know what? They got a 56,000 season ticket fan base right now. 82 of the 88 suites at in Glendale are sold out. Now, a lot of that could be because the Super Bowl is going to be here this year. The Pro Bowl will be here this year, and the next year the National Championship will be here. But it just opens up, and it's a multi-purpose facility. It's just not for football. They have trade shows there, so a lot of people are coming out to Arizona for their, you know, for their company and different conventions. So it's opened up a lot of revenue streams, and they'll sell out the entire year this year, and they're hoping to add to the fan base again next year when it comes to season tickets. So they don't need 10,000 to 15,000 walk up. They only need a couple thousand walk up, and you're still seeing some of the opposing fans coming in here. But for the most part, by getting that stadium, naming rights, suites, club seats, season ticket base, it's completely changed the entire perception. So my recommendation for all those Raider fans out there, if you want to keep your team in your town, you have to get that stadium for the revenue streams to kick in. And I'm telling you, it'll pay off dividends in the long run. You'll have a better product on the field, you'll have more money to spend. And it kind of brings a community together when that happens.
Mike Jarecki's our guest, sports talk host on Fox Sports Radio. 910 and a Cardinals insider. Getting to this game, Carson Palmer coming back. I want you to assess his play, but looking at the stats, Arizona's 31st in the NFL and Oakland's 32nd when it comes to net yards totaling. It doesn't look like Arizona's doing a big-time job on offense. Only rushed for 428 yards so far this year, and passing yards per game, 222. Oakland's at 223. So with Palmer coming back, is he healthy, and how is Arizona scoring points?
Well, it's a combination. First of all, you know, he was off. He played pretty well in that San Diego game. Now, they were down 17-6 going into the fourth quarter and able to beat the Chargers on Monday Night Football in week one. And then he was off for 32 days in a row. Obviously, he had the shoulder injury. The nerve was not firing. He's been making trips to Denver with the recommendation from John Lynch and Peyton Manning, and they found something there. So now the nerve's reacting a little bit. He's about 85%. He did practice today. He'll practice throughout the course of the week. And, you know, there's a little bit of a fatigue factor since he did throw the ball 44 times. The situation is, JT, as you know, I mean, you can look at all these different numbers and stats. I always look at, you know, points allowed. And right now the Cardinals are somewhere at 10th overall points allowed, and that credit goes to Todd Bowles. And as for the quarterback position, you know, they've played three different quarterbacks this year. They have yet to turn the ball over, at least when it comes to interceptions. So you look at the giveaway takeaway, they're +8, which is third best in football. And then, you know, defensively, they're third against the run. So Todd Bowles has done a really good job of mixing and matching, considering all the different injuries they've had. But for the most part, I mean, they've been able to just kind of grind it out. I know the stats may not, you know, justify the 4-1 start, but they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't beat themselves. You know, a play here and a play there. Matter of fact, in the Giants game, they got a 71-yard punt return from Ted Ginn. That kind of sealed the deal. You know, you go back to the week one against San Diego, coming back in the fourth quarter. So they're not turning the football over. They're playing good defense. However, though, they are ranked 32nd when it comes to, you know, giving up pass plays, giving up 309 yards per game, and I think that's a lack of pass rush. But when you're not turning it over and you're not giving up a ton of points per game, they're able to keep themselves in the game without making a lot of mistakes in the fourth quarter.
Hey, Mike, you nailed it. Arizona third in rushing yards per game at 75.8. I always look to that stat first. Again, you mentioned points and how many you give up. That's everything. But rushing yards, if you can stop a team from running the football and force the quarterback to pass and make him obvious on passing downs, that's been a strength of this team. Mention the next man up mentality, because a lot of our listeners here are wondering, you know, they read about Arizona losing players on defense to free agency and some of these devastating injuries. It must be about depth, that when Arians can go to the depth of this team and they ask a defensive player to step in, a cornerback, linebacker, they're able to do it.
What's remarkable is you got to give a lot of credit to Cardinals general manager Steve Keim. Now, I know Pete Carroll did a little bit of this. They did it in San Francisco and a little bit in St. Louis under Jeff Fisher and Les Snead. You ready for this? 373 roster moves in the last 22 months. What they try to do is they try to turn the roster over. Whoever the last guy is at each position, if there's somebody out there better, they bring him in. And you're right. They lose Carlos Dansby to free agency. Darrell Washington suspended the entire season. You know, you take a look at Darnell Dockett. He gets a torn ACL in training camp. What do? Well, they go out and sign Tommy Kelly on a one-year deal. They drafted a guy named Kareem Martin in the third round. They drafted a guy named Ed Stinson. These guys are getting multiple time. And to me, what the key is Todd Bowles. And this guy will be a head coach sooner rather than later. What he's done is their first-round pick, Dayon Buchanan, who they drafted at number 27, he's a safety from Washington State. Well, he's actually playing linebacker. He's 215 pounds, and he's taking the role of Darrell Washington. So Todd Bowles does a great job of mixing and matching and putting guys in position and make plays. Tyrann Mathieu last week had 49 snaps. He's one of those guys that can play in the slot. He's very good at tackling. He's very good coming off the edge and sacking the quarterback. So I got to give a lot of credit to Steve Keim for turning the roster over, convincing guys to come to Arizona on a one-year deal. I'll give you another example, Larry Foote. Yeah, he got hurt week one last year, missed the entire season, 34 years old. Larry Foote has played every single down on defense. We'll see if he can hold up over the length of the year, being 34 years old. But Larry Foote's a three-down linebacker. He doesn't come off the field. The Cardinals usually run about 65 to 70% of the time. They go with a nickel or dime package, so they really have 6 to 7 DBs on there, and they're asking guys like Buchanan and Tyrann Mathieu to play in the box and get after the quarterback. And then when they went out and signed Antonio Cromartie, where a lot of people in New York thought he was done, They gave him a one-year deal for $3.5 million. Well, when you put Cromartie on the outside opposite of Peterson, it allows Bowles to take the other nine guys and mix and match. And, again, I can't say enough good things about Todd Bowles, because unless people aren't aware of him, he will be a head coach in the NFL next year.
This is great stuff. Mike, as we wrap it up, I look at the remaining road schedule for the Cardinals on top of the division. So at Oakland coming up here Sunday, at Dallas November 2nd, road games at Seattle and Atlanta back-to-back. I know Atlanta's been struggling, but that's a tough place to play. And then end of the year at San Francisco, your gut feeling, is this team playing on Sunday, December 28th at San Francisco for the division title, or just to knock off San Francisco or Seattle for that final wild card?
Well, I think they're going to be playing for a wild card spot. I still think Seattle, even though they got a couple of losses right now, Arizona's in first place. And after the Oakland game, you hope it's not a, quote, trap game. And I think Bruce Arians is preaching that even though the Raiders are winless right now, they got a lot of talent on defense, and he thinks they're playing a little bit harder under Tony Sparano. Then you're right, Philadelphia comes here. They're coming off a bye. You got Dallas. I think Arizona's looking at one of those wild card spots. They're going to run into a rough patch. At some point, they're going to turn the football over. But if they can stay away from losing streaks, and you're right, week 16 and 17 is going to be tough. They got Seattle at home on Sunday Night Football, and then in week 17, they go to San Francisco. I think if they can get to 9, 10, 11 wins, and that's not going to be easy in the NFC, they can push for one of those two wild card spots. And if they can somehow get on a winning streak here in the second half of the season, I would agree with you. Atlanta's a road game in late November, but I don't know if Matt Ryan's going to survive this season with that offensive line. They lost their left tackle. They moved Jake Matthews over to left tackle. Now they got a new right tackle there. So I don't know if Matt Ryan's going to stay healthy. But if the Cardinals can avoid losing streaks, quite frankly, this offense hasn't scratched the surface yet, but they're healthy with Carson Palmer. We'll see. But I think more realistically, they'll be fighting for a wild card berth in the NFC.
Mike, thanks a lot for doing this. I'll see you out there for the Super Bowl this year in Glendale, and we're excited about that. I know you'll have all those party passes, and you'll be connected with everything going on out there in Phoenix, Scottsdale, and Glendale. You got to be looking forward to that.
Yeah, you know what? Glendale, the only thing they're going to be doing is hosting the game. Everything else is going to be in downtown Phoenix. You're going to have, you know, Scottsdale's going to be jumping. You're going to have the Pro Bowl the Sunday before the game. You're going to have the Waste Management Phoenix Open. So Scottsdale and downtown Phoenix, they're going to block off about 12 to 13 different blocks called Super Bowl Boulevard. So Phoenix will definitely be on the map. And then the following year, the national championship game. So things are good in the desert.
Thank you, Mike. Talk to you soon, buddy.
You're listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.
One of the premier cornerbacks in the NFL, tied for the NFL lead in interceptions, Jerod Powers joins us from the Cardinals. Jerod, thanks for the time, and you got to feel good. Tied for the lead in interceptions and in first place in the NFC West.
Yeah, I feel good about where we're at as a team right now. Feels good to be tied in the lead for interceptions. Still a lot of football left, so hopefully I can keep it going.
You guys are really getting the respect now. Do you feel that way? Because last year with the 10 wins and not getting in, this year everybody always talking about Seattle, the Niners. Who's going to win the division? Who's going to get the wild card? Sometimes the media leaves you guys out, but I'm noticing there's a change with the media understanding how good the Cardinals are from top to bottom.
Yeah, we're starting to earn a little respect around the league. You know, I still think we're on the back end of things as far as, you know, people talking about us or whatnot, and we don't mind that as a team. You know, we'll take that back seat and let everybody keep talking about other teams because we understand there's a lot of football left to be played, and we know from the outside looking in, people are probably, you know, thinking, you know, really how good is this team, you know, and wanting to see how we do, you know, when the games matter the most, you know, in November and December football. So, you know, hopefully we can continue to do what we're doing and, you know, find some way to get in the playoffs.
You know, I look back on your Super Bowl run and the AFC Championship with Indy and the experience you had at Auburn. Do you feel like you bring not only experience but a swagger to this team because you've played in so many big games?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, especially coming, you know, from Auburn, you know, well-known school in the SEC, you know, you definitely walk in with a little chip, little swagger, you know, to your step. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in Indy for all those years, you know, going to Super Bowls, you know, being part of a winning tradition. So, you know, coming here to a, you know, organization that, you know, for, you know, 4 or 5 years wasn't winning much, you know, I kind of helped, you know, with BA and, you know, some of the other guys he brought in, you know, bring that little swagger a little bit. But, you know, that's all it is. You know, we just got to make sure we do what we do on the field to win the game.
Jerod Powers is our guest. Talk about B.A. Bruce Arians and how he treats you guys like professionals. Give me something different about this coach compared to some of the coaches you played for earlier in your career.
I played for Jim Caldwell and Pagano, Chuck, and they're all great coaches. But I think B.A. is probably one of the first coaches like every player can just sit down and relate to. You know, if you want to ask him a question, if you don't want him to tell you the honest truth, you really shouldn't ask him the question, whether you like it to hear it or not. You know, he's going to give you the honest truth. And as a player, you can respect that because everybody know how the NFL is and, you know, how some things can get turned into, you know, other things as far as, you know, the truth being told and stuff like that. So, you know, B.A., you know, it's just like he's another player on the team. You know, that's how guys relate to him, and that's why people want to go out there and fight for him the best they can.
Jerod, you're going up against the Raiders and the play of Derek Carr. He's off to a pretty good start. He lost in a shootout to Philip Rivers last Sunday. After looking at Carr on film, what concerns you about his play? He's a gunslinger.
Man, he's a gunslinger. He's a hell of a player. I think I don't think he got enough hype coming out of college this year with all the other quarterbacks and stuff. But it seems like Oakland got their guy that I think they can build around and build that franchise around. Man, he's a heck of a player. Shows a lot of toughness. He can make every throw. So last week, they probably feel like they let one slip out, and we know we're going to have our hands full going to Oakland this Sunday.
Hey, finally, knowing that the Raiders are desperate at 0-5, are you going to be pointing and trash-talking to the black hole? You know those fans, they hang over the south end zone. They're going to be pointing at you as you come out of the tunnel. They're going to be talking at you from the end zone there. Are you ready for them?
I'm ready, man. It's going to be a reminder, like how it was, coming from Auburn, going to, like, play at Death Valley or LSU or, going to the Swamp and playing at Florida and how they fans act. That just makes the game more exciting, more fun, and it just shows you the tradition that they have in Oakland and, the great football that they've done over the years. They've been a great franchise for the NFL, and it's going to be a tough to go in there and get a victory, but we definitely feel like we can do it.
Hey, thanks for joining us. You're having a Pro Bowl season. Keep it up. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.